The following is a Fourth Hand production.
15, 64, 50, 80, 90, hey, hey!
Hey, you guys.
Oh, my nose!
And welcome to A Very Brady Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Tack, and with me, as always, is the other host of the show, Jimmy Klein.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I'm just kidding. Hi, Jimmy. And on this podcast, we celebrate the iconic TV show, The Brady Bunch, as we break down the bunch one episode at a time. What we do, Jimmy, is, you know, we take the episode, we break it down. We give it a role in a commercial only to watch it rehearse at home and not the director and completely fuck up any chance at a career. All for you, the listener.
Aww.
On today's episode, we're going to take a look at season 3, episode 8, entitled, And Now a Word from Our Sponsor. If you haven't watched the episode, please feel free to stop the podcast and go watch it before continuing. You don't have to, but it might be a hell of a more... Somebody fucked that up.
Yeah, right? It's like you've never done.
I know. Rookie mistake.
You're almost as bad as me on season 2, episode 1, or 2, rather.
You don't have to, but it might be a hell of a lot more funny if you do. The Brady Bunch is available to stream on Hulu, CBS All Access, and...
Amazon Prime! That was a good one.
That was a good one. Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm excited about this episode.
Are you? Yeah, you thought this episode was hilarious.
I did. It was so funny. Like, I laughed out loud so many times during this episode. I don't know why.
I didn't think it was as funny as you thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was...
Because I messed up. I built it up too much for you. Because I was like, oh my God, this episode's so funny. Have you watched it yet? And you're like, no. Oh my God, it's so funny. You're going to love it. It has so many jokes. This part's funny. And you're like, oh geez. So you went into it like with my negative input.
It wasn't negative.
No, but that's how you took it.
Oh, no, not really. I was just like, yeah, this is going to be a good one. And I was like, it's all right. It's cute. Okay, all right.
There's some really funny parts in it, but we'll get there.
When the credit started, I was like, there's a post-credit scene that he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. It's like, this is a Marvel's thing. But that didn't happen either. So.
I don't know. We'll go through and I'll discuss all the parts I thought were hilarious. So this is about the Brady's shooting a commercial.
It is.
I personally have never shot a commercial. Have I? No. Have I? No. But you have.
I have, yeah.
So what was that like? What was the commercial for?
It was, I've done 3 of them. I did one for like a portable door lock thing for hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. It's like some kind of like bar thing that you put underneath the doorknob or something. Excuse me. Okay. And I had to play the burglar because they always, you know, yeah. Then I did another one for some kind of paper shredder.
Okay.
And shockingly, I had to play the person, you know, going through your garbage looking for, you know, credit slips and everything, you know?
Like the burglar?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So we're typecasted so far here.
Yeah. And then the third one I did was for a drink.
Yeah. Oh, like an energy drink or something? Or like a soda?
It was a carbo drink. Yeah.
Is carbonated?
No, like carbohydrates.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. It was called Tommy Chong's Urine Luck Carbo Drink. And it's supposed to clean out your pee before a drug test.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Shockingly, I was the before and after guy. So they thought I looked stoned all the time, so that they always cast me as like burglars or something. So when I did the commercials, you show up and all you know is a very, very general idea of what the commercial is going to be about. Yeah. So they're like, hey, do you want to do a commercial about a door lock? Sure. All right, show up at this hotel this time, this day. Okay, that's all you know. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I show up and they give me a single sheet that has both. It has everything on it. It's got the camera shot on it. It's got the lines on it. And you have to read through it and decipher where your lines are.
Okay.
And they give you maybe whatever time it takes to set up the camera and set up the white balance and the lighting. That's all you have. That's all the time you have.
Yeah.
And then you're expected to be on set knowing your lines. Mm-hmm. Which it was like one line. It was Tommy Chong's urine let carbo drink is fast, easy, and it even tastes good. Like, that was actually
my. I'm convinced that it tasted good.
Yeah, there
you go. And fast. And easy.
But I only.
Funny enough, those are the same descriptions in my high school yearbook.
What, fast, easy, and even tastes good?
Mm-hmm.
Right on, cool.
That's my senior quote.
Yeah. Yeah, when I did commercials, I got like $50 a day, $75 if I got a line. So
it's watching just a one-day shoot, right?
Yeah, but watching this one, they're like, we're going to be rich. Okay. Well,
I mean, the commercials you did were local commercials, right?
Yes and no. They were national, but they aired in areas where it was popular to watch TV without cable. You know, like, for instance, the movie Wayne's World.
Yeah.
The public access kind of stuff. That's big in cities like Chicago and Miami and New York and Los Angeles. Right. Places where there's enough people in a tight city that a small TV station over the air could actually be successful and do well. Gotcha. So my commercials aired in markets like that.
I've been recognized.
Apparently, one of Megan's friends. He looks like I was in a commercial down in Miami for some kind of drug stuff. Megan's like, yeah, that's him. Like, that's the same guy.
Well, it's different though if you get like a Tide commercial that's nationwide. Exactly.
Yep.
You're gonna get like residuals and stuff like that every time it airs, and you can really make some really good money off national commercials like that with that kind of campaign. So that's kind of what they were thinking, and of course it could lead to other stuff, and you know,
like a TV show.
Yeah.
Like a weekly comedy show, you know, with you and, you know, six kids. So yes.
Well, cool. That sounds super. I never got to do that with the commercial, but very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's take our first break, and when we come back, we're really gonna break this episode down.
We are.
This episode just struck me as super funny. I don't know. So
okay.
All right, we'll be back. Hey guys, if you love A Very Brady Podcast, then go online and check out the Tee Public merch store. They got everything in there. They got t-shirts, coffee mugs, hoodies, stickers, magnets, pillows, and there's so many different t-shirt designs to choose from tanks to v-necks. If you want it, they got it. So go on there, check it out, order a t-shirt today or a magnet or a sticker. If not for yourself, get one for that Brady Bunch fan in your life. And guys, let me tell you, I ordered a couple of t-shirts to come in so I can check out the quality myself. And I gotta tell you, I'm quite impressed. And I'm a bit of a t-shirt snob. It's gotta be just right, the right thinness of material. Pretty similar to like t-shirts that you get like at Target. Very thin, very comfortable material. These guys over at Tee Public definitely know what they're doing. And you wanna talk about t-shirt colors? Of course, I only wear black all the time because it's slimming, but you can get pretty much any color under the sun. So go online to the Tee Public merch store. The link is in the description of this episode. And always remember, have a sunshine day. And we are back. All right. So we got the Brady Bunch Season 3, Episode 8, entitled, and now a word from our sponsor. Let's get into it. Facts about the episode. It first aired on November 5th, 1971. Written by Albert E. Lewin and directed by Peter Baldwin.
Huh. I wonder if he's one of the Baldwin dynasty guys.
Oh, like the Barrymores.
There you go.
According to IMDb. The character of Skip Farnum is played by actor Paul Winchell, whose many credits also include voicing the character Tigger in Disney's Winnie the Pooh series.
Very nice. It's funny because I didn't read this. I don't read this kind of stuff before I start watching it. And it was later in the episode where he's, you know, where he it's a certain thing he does. He goes, like that with his voice. Yeah. And I was just like, it hit me. I'm like, holy shit, I know that voice. And I stopped and rewound it, and Caitlin was in the room with me, and she's looking at me. She goes, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Listen to that voice." And she listens. She goes, "Okay, that sounds really familiar." I'm like, "Yeah, do you know who it is?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "That's Tigger. It's got to be Tigger because that's exactly what Tigger does." And she listens again. She's like, oh my God, I think that is Tigger. I'm like, yeah. So we looked it up. I'm like, holy shit, it's Tigger.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny because before I watched this episode, I'm like, I remember seeing this episode a long time ago. And I was like, I want to say Tigger's in this. The guy who does Tigger's voice. And sure enough, as I was reading, I was like, oh, there it is. Hell yeah.
But the OG Tigger, not the new Tigger.
Right, right. Yeah.
The new Tigger is arguably way better. A lot of people that are in the voices think he's better, but
I don't know if I've ever heard the new Tigger.
Yeah, sure you have.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
All right, so are you ready?
Yep.
All right, so we fade in. Scene one. We open up with Carol and the kids leaving the grocery store with many bags and three carts.
Dang.
Did you see all that? Like each kid was carrying
three carts and they still had to carry shit.
Yeah, each kid was carrying at least one or two bags.
Well, what's stupid is they have six kids and Carol.
Yeah.
Why were they only using three carts?
I don't know.
What I'm saying? They got seven people that can push a cart.
Oh, yeah. So
why are you carrying shit?
No, it's a good point. I didn't think about that. Bobby lags behind and is playing with the automatic door.
Yeah.
Until Carol, no fun Brady, calls for him. As they continue to the wagon in the parking lot, a man dressed in a tan button-up shirt. I didn't know what kind of shirt that, what's that called?
I don't know. I'm not sure what that would be called.
It's one of those tan button-up shirts like you'd see like on safaris or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I think my long guy wears one.
That has like a belt that goes around and a little flippy hangs down.
And I think like it's got vents in it, like in the armpits and shit.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
So he was wearing that shirt with an ascot to boot.
You said ass.
Holding his hands in film frames, he walks slowly to the Bradys.
Because people do that.
Carol and the kids all notice him because he's about 12 feet away, you know, dollying his, quote, camera lens alongside the family. He stops and gets a huge smile on his face and then is seen by Marcia looking through a car window at them, still holding up his camera lens. Now the mysterious man is ducking down all around the parking lot, looking at them from different angles. The kids and Carol continue to watch him in wonder. Greg scrunches his face and says, that guy's been following us all over the market.
That's how you're going to do something. Fuck out of here. You're like 100 pounds.
Carol says to just ignore him and just get going. Finally, the man walks up to Carol, looking at the family, and says, you are it. You are really it. Carol asks, we are what? The man continues, I've been looking for weeks, for months. Well, this is exactly the whole ball of wax. And then holds his frame hands up yet again. He reaches into his pocket, pulls out his card, and says, oh, look, I'm a TV director. Here, read this and we'll wrap. So Carol drops a beat. No.
Carol starts beatboxing.
Carol reads off the card. Skip Farnham, Film Enterprises. Is that right? Skip Farnham, Farnham Enterprises. I don't know. Skip says, yeah, that's my company. We make commercials. Jan asks, commercials? Skip gets excited and says, yeah, TV commercials for the big tube. Look, we want you and your kids and your husband all on TV selling our groovy product, Safe, the greatest little laundry soap in the world. Carol says, us in a TV commercial? Skip gets excited again and says, yeah. The kids get all excited and all start asking Skip many questions. Carol seems to have a look of doubt or concern on her face.
Very lovely.
Thank you.
I got really curious watching this scene, and I'm like, I wonder where that was filmed. Right? Okay. And so I did a deep dive, and there's a couple of websites that talk about Brady Bunch filming locations. I found this fairly easily where the address was. You can go on to Google Earth and look at it. Yeah. Right? The strip mall that the store is in is still there. It's been remodeled. It's still a store. It's still there. Right. It just looks completely different for the most part. Parking lot looks exactly the same. The car layouts are exactly the same. Hmm. Right. If in certain shots next to the left of where the grocery store is, you see a tall brown building, looks like an apartment building. That's totally still there. Hmm. Behind where Skip is when he's talking to the family, you see a strip mall back there that one of them says Bagpipes. And on the end of it, it says pharmacy.
I did see that.
The pharmacy is now an all natural pet food store. Okay. And the bagpipe thing is now a cantina. And in the building behind Marsha, they only show up for a couple seconds. It's a white building with stripes on it with one, two, three, four, five, six windows going across it. And then like this arch thing on the left-hand side, that's all still there. The building looks exactly the same. Even the sign behind Skip, it's like a cross-shaped sign. Okay. That's even still there. It's been renamed to something else, but the sign itself is still there. So I just thought it was neat. Cool. Yeah. Listening to him, to me, he sounded like he was from New Orleans. He had like a New Orleans accent. Something like that. I couldn't put my finger on it. Also, since when does the family go shopping and not take Alice?
I don't know. Since like when do they go at all?
Right, exactly. Usually it's Alice and Carol.
Or just Alice.
And the only reason Carol goes is because Alice has a driver.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you do see them coming back a lot together. Yeah.
But also, like, no offense to anybody that really likes her, but Carol is such a bad actress. She really is. Because,
Carol
like,
is or well, Florence Henderson?
Florence Henderson. Because, like, she's so bad at it that the camera has to push in to show her face, like, to demonstrate that she's kind of concerned. Because she can't carry it across everybody, like, looking at Skip. Like, I don't know. It just, I wasn't very impressed with it. When it pushed in, I'm like, what the fuck? Why is it pushing in? Oh, that's right. Because she's making a face and her face ain't big enough. Okay. All right.
Face isn't big enough.
Yeah, it's... More and more, I'm not liking her. Shocking. Okay, scene two. Moments later, we see Alice in the refrigerator in the kitchen. She hears Marsha calling for her, and she quickly hands off the one bag of groceries to Alice and says that she has to make a phone call to tell Jane the fantastic news. I didn't note that the first time, but that's interesting because at this point, Mike doesn't know.
Right.
So it's interesting. She's telling Jane first. Anyways.
Well, that's just, I mean, it's Marsha. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's not Carol. I was saying it was Carol for a second. Sorry. And runs off after her into the living room. Carol comes into the kitchen next and hands off two bags of groceries to Alice as she says, "This is crazy. I can't wait to tell Mike." And then runs off to the living room. Meanwhile, Alice keeps insisting to know what the news is.
Shocking.
Yeah, right. Jan and Peter now come in with bags and hand them off and run out. Before Peter leaves, he tells Alice, "We're going to be on television." Cindy comes running in and Alice stops her and asks, "You're going to be on television?" Cindy says, "Yeah, we're going to do a commercial for a funny man who looks through his hands." And she runs off. Alice says to herself, "Looks through his hands?" She's probably thinking he's blind.
Right. So I got a question. Everybody's rushing through here through the family room,
yes,
through the kitchen, into,
yes,
the living room,
yes,
to get to a phone. There's, right, a phone right there in the kitchen.
There is.
Well, family room is on the bar.
They don't want fucking Alice to know. Ain't none of Alice's business. Why do you think nobody's telling her?
I mean, I would do the same thing because I don't like talking on the phone in front of people, but, right, like, I don't know, but everybody's running a pad like, oh, they're running there. There's fun right here. Fuck it. I got it first.
Boom. Well, I mean, Cindy told Alice because, you know, it's Cindy. She can't shut up. But but everybody else was trying to keep it away from her.
Shit,
exactly. Yeah.
That's funny.
My only note was Alice is so fucking nosy. She's so nosy. It has nothing to do with her. She's so fucking nosy.
Yeah. All right. So scene three. Later, we see Skip in the living room with Mike and Carol asks, "You're going to shoot the commercial right here in our house, Mr. Farnham?" Skip says, "Yeah, we want sort of a realism, you know, a natural look." Skip hands Mike the contract and says, "Read and enjoy. I'm going to go scan the pad." And he walks off looking through his hands. He looks back at Mike and Carol, and they're looking at him like he's a nut. Skip waves, and they wave back. Mike and Carol looks through the contract, and Carol says, "Wow, look at the size of the contract for just a one-minute commercial." Mike says, "Phew, you'd think we were doing Gone with the Wind."
Why would anybody, like, if this was you,
yeah,
and somebody wanted to film in your house,
yeah,
would you just let them randomly walk around on their own around your house?
Well, if they said, "Hey, I'm just going to like look around," I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but he's like leaving the room. He's going into other rooms.
Well, true. Like,
with my apartment is small, so I can stay right here and still keep an eye on them anywhere.
I mean, for me, I would say, well, if you let me read this contract first, I'll walk you around the house.
Or I'll just say, like, hey, let's walk you through now, and then we'll look at the contract when we're done.
Yeah, so. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Good point.
Scene four. In the kitchen, Skip continues to look through his hands around the room. He sees the sink and gets super excited and says, ooh, groovy.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. Like, you ever seen a sink?
He was like super jazzed to see that sink. He was like, oh, groovy. Oh.
Maybe it was the fact that it was on an island.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. He stops and pans around the room just as Alice walks into him. Skip asks Alice, who are you, pussycat? Alice seems confused and says, oh, well, I'm Pussycat Alice. Skip looks at Alice and says, ooh, that face. It's like real. It's organic. Well, you started the voice. I got to do
it. No, I love it. I think it's great.
Keep doing it. He looks closer at her face and says, oh, you're definitely in that commercial, Pussycat. I keep expecting him to go in. I say. Alice has a look of relief and says, oh, that's who you are, Mr. Farnham. Skip looks at her through his hands and says, yeah.
Okay, that was the creepiest shot.
Yes, thank you.
Holy it was crap. Almost like a POV from Alice's point of view. And he's holding his hands up like a frame, but he's just like looking at her and goes, yeah. Like he's going to choke her. Like,
yeah. But like my note is, why is the sink so groovy? Like
that's a groovy ass sink.
I guess. So groovy, they still make them.
And what's so funny, too, is this is the second time Alice said pussy on the show.
That That's is. Great. Yeah, you're right. Was that two episodes in a row?
Maybe. No. Mm. Yeah. No, I think it was the one before last.
Huh.
Listeners know. They're probably yelling at us.
Right, probably.
If you listen, you can hear. Yep.
I can hear the guy next to you playing a lot easier.
That's all I hear. Fucking neighbor. All right. Scene five. Back in the living room, Greg comes down the stairs into the living room where Mike and Carol are perusing through the contract and asks, did Mr. Farnham go? Carol says, no, he is around here somewhere, scanning the pad. Greg looks at Mike and says, Dad, I hate to be crass about a thing like this, but does the contract say anything about loot? Mike rolls his eyes, sighs, and says, we get paid, yes. Greg smiles and says, out of sight, is it a lot? Mike looks closer at it and laughs and says, well, consider the amount of work we do, I'd say, yeah, it's out of sight. Greg says, wow, and starts to walk off. But Mike stops him and says, the money we make is going into all of our savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Greg isn't happy to hear that and asks, maybe we can have just some of it now for something a little special? Mike sighs while shaking his head. Carol tries to reason and asks, maybe just a little, Mike. Mike nods and says, well, maybe a little. Carol looks up and smiles at Greg as if to say, I got your back, Greg. Greg thanks Mike and runs off.
Okay.
Yes.
Carol don't want any of the boys to have shit. But when it comes to him getting money, she's all about it. And why? Why, Tiger? That's right, because she fucking gets money too. That's the only time she has their backs. That is so fucked up. I bet if Mike was like, oh, they're having a buy one get one free sale at the car lot, and I think I'm going to buy Greg a new car, and then you'll get one too. She'll be all about that. You know, you're right. I think Greg does need a car. You know,
it's time
for him. He's 16, right? God, I fucking.
It's funny. Last month you didn't want him to have a car, but now you do.
God, you're tasting shit out of me. She's like, he shouldn't spend his money. That's for savings. And now it's like, well, fuck it. He don't need savings. There's, you know, she gets money too. Scene six. We immediately cut to Greg showing off a new guitar amp in a magazine to Peter and Bobby and says, check out that amplifier.
Boom.
Peter pipes up and says, that must cost a bundle. Greg looks at it and says, well, maybe a couple $100. Bobby says, you're dreaming. Greg says, nope, I am buying.
Mm.
Peter says, with what? You're printing your own money? Greg says, no, from doing the TV commercial. Dad said we could have a little of it now. Peter, the realist, says, you call a couple of $100 a little?
Greg says, a drop in the bucket. You can make a fortune on a TV commercial. Bobby begins to think and says, wow, I could buy that neat electric train outfit. Train outfit? What the fuck? That'd be the ugliest outfit ever. Peter also daydreams and says, I bet I could have a mini bike. Greg joins in the daydreaming and says, after this commercial, we'll do another one and then thousands. Peter adds, millions. Bobby says, maybe more. And then he...
whatever, you know, number's higher than millions.
Then he makes monkeys on.
All right. So you know what I'm going to do now, Jimmy Klein.
Touch toe?
No. So they mentioned that, you know, like a couple hundred bucks, you know, how much does that amp cost? A couple hundred bucks.
Couple hundred dollars.
So what is the conversion of a quote, couple hundred bucks to 1971 money to 2021 money?
I'm going to say
it was 200 is what the number I went with.
1100.
Close.
Yeah.
It's more. It's actually 1291.76. Jeez. That's crazy.
They must think they're going to make a fucking huge amount of money on this. That's
that,
a little.
That amp, which by the way, I did a deep dive on that amp. I looked it up to see what it was. That amp that he was showing off was a 1972 model Fender Twin Reverb 2x12 tube combo amp. And I looked it up today. I found a bunch for sale today used.
From the 70s?
Yeah. That same amp today used. Would still cost you $800.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So it's gone down in value.
Well, not really.
Well, yeah, if it was $1,200.
If it was $200-ish
right
back in 1972, used today, it's $800.
Yeah, but the value of it back then was $1,200 today. And today it's only worth
$800. Oh, I see what you're saying. No. Yeah, but not much. It's 1972. Right.
But you would think that an old antique vintage Fender anything would go up in value.
I wouldn't have thought gone up. Well,
I would have.
But still, it didn't depreciate much at all.
No, it didn't. No, you're right.
Still pretty. And there was just that one. I found a few like 800. There was a couple that were 900. It was crazy.
Mm.
So, anyway. Mm. Scene 7. Lingerie. Now in the girls' room, Marcia says to Cindy, I'm so excited to do that commercial. Cindy agrees. We pan over to Jan, and she's looking into the mirror, pretending to be in a commercial.
Pan she to says, Jan. I'm so juvenile. You're like, we pan to Jan. I'm like, pan to Jan. Oh, sorry. That was funny for some reason.
So we pan to Jan, and she's pretending to be in a commercial, and she looks in the mirror and says, what's the matter with me? Why don't I have dates anymore? Could it be my breath? And she exhales into the mirror. Marcia joins in and stares into the mirror and says, I used to have the same trouble. Now I use Dazzle. Marcia holds up a tube of toothpaste. It kills everything in your mouth, including your gums. Is that what she said? Including your gums? It cuts to Cindy and she says, my trouble is my curls. They just won't stand up in the rain. They get all frizzled. Jan picks up a can of hairspray and says, next time, try spring. She motions to Marcia to get behind her. Jan continues. It winds up your curls so tight that it lifts you off the ground. And Marcia picks up Cindy. And then all the girls begin to giggle and laugh.
So I guess you could say it would make her lift off the ground, kind of like Tigger's tail.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, shit.
Because bouncing's what Tigger threw best.
Why does she breathe into the mirror? I've never seen anybody use that method before to check their breath.
Well, somebody breathing in the hand or the mirror.
Well, the hand I've always seen, but I've never seen anybody breathe. Hold on. Let me find a mirror. Like I've never seen anybody.
Well, she was just in front of the mirror, but you know, the other thing we're having to tackle right now is mask breath, Jimmy. Have you seen that stupid commercial?
I have. Yeah.
Mask breath. Cause that's a real thing, which is literally what it says in the commercial.
Okay.
It's so stupid.
You don't get mask breath?
I don't fucking know. Who cares if I do anyway? It's just me.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're like this product, like, oh, chew this gum or whatever. Or use this mouthwash because mask breath. Like, it's just so stupid. What I hate
is, like, I've noticed that when I wear a mask, smells sometimes get trapped in my mask and I smell it longer than I would have if I hadn't worn the mask.
Okay.
So, like, if I fart or something, smell it longer than I could if I didn't have the mask on, because it, like, gets trapped in your mask.
All right. You know, one thing I discovered while wearing a mask is, this is the weirdest thing. Tell me if you've experienced this. Have you ever burped in your mask?
No.
Okay. Burp in your mask, and you know how you get, like, some masks you have a little air right by your eyes?
Yeah.
Well, I, like, burped in the mask and, like, exhaled, and, like, that air shot up through the, like, the vents underneath my eyes, and it actually burned my eyes.
Wow, nice.
And I was like, oh, my God. I had to take my mask off. I was like, why did that burn my eyes? That's the weirdest thing. So, I guess my mask breath is so bad, it burns my eyes.
Well, you should get that gum. I also put on here amazing acting from Cindy. It was like they lift her up and she's like, oh, you guys. It was so fucking corny. It was so dumb. It was terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. So, scene 8. In the magic room, Mike is looking through the contract sitting at the sometimes desk that sometimes is at the foot of the bed.
Have you noticed that? Sometimes the desk there, sometimes not. I don't know. Only when it's convenient.
Carol, while lying in bed reading a book, looks at the time and says, oh, honey, aren't you finished yet? She had a nickel every time she had to say that, right? Mike, flipping through the paperwork, says, I cannot make heads or tails out of this show business legal double talk. I think I better have our attorney check it. Mike gets up and walks over to the bed. Carol says, all that just to sell a little soap? Mike scoffs and says, oh yeah, but not just soap, safe. Carol mocking says, oh, pardon, sir. The next time I mention another brand, I'll wash my mouth out with safe. Mike gets into bed and says, I tell you what, I don't know how you tell all those other brands apart, you women. Carol says, it's easy. We used to use Clear and Bright until we found out that it turned our water dim and dark. And then we switched. Mike asks, to what? Carol says, help. Mike laughs. Carol continues, until we found out that help didn't help. And so then we turned to Champ the Dirt Fighter. Mike mocks and says, oh, not Champ the Dirt Fighter. And he pretends to box. Carol goes on, but then we found out that Champ couldn't take the Brady dirt and lost the title. Mike goes on, and don't keep me in suspense. Carol says, well, that's when we switched to Best. Mike asks, when did you start using Safe? Carol says, oh, right. I forgot. Right between Champ and Best. Mike gets serious for a moment and says, hold it. You mean we switched from Safe to Best? Carol smiles and says, right, because Best is Best. Mike looks at her and says, well, yeah, but how are we going to get up in front of a million people and lie? Carol seems confused. Mike says, well, we can't do a commercial about Safe if you're still using Best. Carol thinks for a moment and says, what? So you're really saying that all those people that do commercials use the products? Mike says, well, I don't know, but I think they should. At least I think we should. Carol says, well, gee, I never really thought about it before. Mike gets an idea and says, you know what? I think I had better call up Mr. Farnham, tell him it's off. Mike leans back and feels good about his decision. Carol unhappily says, oh, Mike, the kids are going to be so disappointed.
I saw that scene and I was like, this is what Jimmy would do to his family.
I would. It would bug me. It really would. It would bug me.
Which I totally get. I agree. Yeah. Like, you want to be able to, like, be confident about your product that you're trying to sell. You know, you want to know, like, I could never sell some garbage. You know what I mean? I have to really believe in it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But I would say, yeah, I would try it. And if it works good, okay, you can still be good about it. Mm-hmm. But you can also still use Best or still use, you know, right. Champ the Fighter or whatever, but you still used it and you have used it. So I think you're still good, but you don't have to, I don't know.
Like me attacking 100% say everything we endorse on the show, we actually use. Advertisements we do on this show.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I don't know what plays in the, in the breaks, but I mean, all the stuff me and you advertise ourselves on the show, we use. So
We don't advertise anything? Shh. Oh, actually, we do.
That's not the point.
We occasionally run the commercial for a T Public store.
There you go.
I'm not wearing the shirt today, but I did the other day, though.
There you go. My first thought after the scene was, bitch, please. She is so much more disappointed than the kids are going to be.
Well, I mean, the kids are going to be pretty disappointed,
too. They are, but she's more disappointed.
Why do you say?
Because she don't have a job. All the kids have to do is ask for something. She don't have a fucking job. She's got to suck dick for that money. You know she does.
Like, she cares. Sorry.
She cares about getting shit.
I know, but, like, she don't have a problem sucking Mike's dick. Sorry, listener in Minnesota, but we got to talk about body parts.
But she doesn't mind paying for it, so to speak.
Well, Mike's a good-looking dude. You know, I mean, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, that thing is terrible. It's not like she's married to Archie Bunker or something.
Right. But my point is as kids, it's their parents' job, at least in part, to buy them whatever they need. And in some cases what they want.
Yeah.
But with Carol, she don't have a job. So
true that.
So she was really excited about the fact of getting money. And it just irritated me that she was, well, the kids are going to be disappointed. Just say what it is. You're going to be disappointed. Like, you're pissed. Fucking act like the kids are the reason. I do think Mike is being a little too anal.
Yeah.
I would have, if it was me, I would have called and voiced the opinion, said, look, we've actually tried this product and it's really not that great. So I would have voiced the opinion saying, I don't really feel comfortable because I know how good your product is. So can we change the wording and not call it the best or whatever?
Right.
But
I tried safe and it's I.
But also, like, they're not celebrities. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not like people give a shit what they think.
Anyway. Right. They're not endorsing a product. Yeah. You know,
so we're just the Brady's and we say this. Well, if the Brady's say it's good, then it has to be good. Like, nobody gives a shit.
That's a good point, too. They're not endorsing a product. They're just acting in a commercial. Yeah. So that's a good point. All right. Scene 9. Later, we see Greg and the boys in the back driveway sitting on the tailgate to the wagon. Greg says, that's a bummer. Peter, with his chin resting on his hand, says, yeah, we practically had all that money right in our hands. Bobby says, why would I be a fraud? I don't even use any kind of laundry soap.
Mm-hmm.
Greg says, that's not the point. If we're all in the commercial, then it's like saying something that's not true. Bobby says, gee, one minute we're millionaires and the next minute we're broke again.
Boo fucking who?
Like, they're broke.
That's what I mean. Like, maybe you're far from broke. Like, what the fuck? They got a fucking living maid.
No. So dumb. They pretty much have everything they ever wanted except their own rooms. But
his dad drives what? A brand new fucking convertible Barracuda? Yeah.
Like, every.
Must suck to be that poor.
Yeah.
Scene 10. In the kitchen, we see Alice and Carol sitting at the table pulling peas out of pods.
Mm.
Carol sighs and says, you know, Alice, I think we set a record for the shortest career in show business. Alice responds by saying, for a brief shiny moment there, I was Pussycat Alice.
She loves saying
Pussycat. She does, yeah. Just then the phone rings. Alice answers it, and it's Mike calling for Carol. Carol takes the phone, and Mike says, honey, I just called Farnham to tell him the commercial was off. Carol comments on how she hopes he wasn't angry with him. Mike continues, no, not at all. But he did tell me something important. We've never used safe. Carol argues and says that they absolutely did use it in the past. Mike interrupts and says, no, not this safe. That's the old one. This is the new and improved safe. It just came out on the market last week. Carol says, new and improved? Mike goes on, right. Maybe it is better than best. Carol lights up and says, then we just test them both and find out. Mike says, that's exactly what I was thinking. It'll be perfectly fair and honest, right? Carol agrees and says, if safe washes cleaner than best, we do the commercial, right? Mike agrees. Carol goes on, oh, that's great, honey. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Carol hangs up the phone and looks at Alice proudly and says, Alice, round up the kids. We've got a Brady Washathon coming right up. Alice says, Washa who? Carol says, yep, There's going to be a showdown at the old washing machine. Safe against best. And may the better soap win. Tech, did you notice the toaster in the background?
I did.
That was an awesome toaster, wasn't
right?
it?
Right?
It was. Anyways, I bet our listeners would like that toaster. Anyways.
I bet you they would like that toaster.
So it's funny that she didn't have time to say I love you before she got off the phone.
No.
But she had enough time to get excited about that fucking commercial shit, didn't she?
She wanted to tell Alice right away.
Right.
And she wants to call Martha and rub exactly, it in her yeah. fucking Martha
but
face.
But she don't have time to tell her husband I love you.
Nope.
That's fucked
Even
up.
Even though he did all that work.
Why are they taking peas out of pods? Can't you just buy them that way?
Some people like, they probably like picked them or went to a farmer's market or an old lady that knows them gave them to her.
Okay.
That's what it's like when you grow. Food doesn't grow at the grocery store. You know that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't. When you have, when you're feeding that many people, I don't understand why you would take the time to manually.
You know, I hear you. I spend summers in my dad's, as I told right. you, that's pretty much how we live, like the Brady Bunch. And we used to, we grew our own green beans. So in the summers, we had to cut the ends off, then cut them. All these green beans, huge, big, like, bowls of these green beans we'd right. have to do. And then, of course, my stepmother's mother used to can them all. And so she'd be at the canner all day long, like, boiling them and putting them in jars and sealing them and... that shit sucked.
I love how I wrote my note. This is just, I know what I meant, but this note is funny. Okay. I wrote, I love how Alice takes a pee. And what I meant by that is she just, while Carol's talking, and I got a feeling it was never meant. It was probably a long shoot day and lunch hadn't happened yet. And she reaches over, grabs a pee and puts her mouth and eats it while they're talking. To me, that was just so like organic, no pun intended, but it was just such a neat thing for her to do. I don't know if it was meant to happen, but I just thought it was funny.
So my son and I were sitting at the table eating dinner one day and we had like chicken and peas and something else. So,
oh yeah, I remember the story. Yeah,
my son, he always, shock kid makes a mess when he eats, you know.
Big shock.
And so he's like picking up all this food that's around the plate for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, get your napkin, get your silverware, take it to the kitchen, you know. And then he comes back and he left one little pea still on the table. And I was like, after you get your napkin and silverware, you got a pea right there. And I'm pointing at the table. And he's just like, what? And I was like, after you put your paper towel in the trash, you got a pee right there. He just looks at me like, what? And I'm like, what is so confusing? And then I caught it. Oh, and we, two of us just laughed and laughed.
That's funny. Did he ever pee on it?
No, but like, I don't know. It was probably like a year or so later. And then the same scenario happened again. I was like, hey, son, you got a pee right there. And he goes, okay, and start acting like he's going to unzip his pants. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Funny. All right. Scene 11.
11.
Next, we see Carol, Alice, and all the kids gathered in the kitchen. Carol is holding Best laundry detergent, while Alice holds Safe laundry detergent. Carol tells the kids, well, I never thought I'd say this to you kids, but go ahead and get dirty. They all scatter in different directions. Carol looks at Alice and says, Alice, you're the only one who knows which one you washed with which soap. And your lips are sealed, okay? Alice says, oh yeah, sealed, and motions as she zipped and locked her mouth shut.
You know, when I watch this, I take my notes as I'm watching, right?
Right.
So my note is, why do I get the feeling that Alice is going to forget which one? Like, to me, that was so... foreshadowed.
Right. I thought that too, but I was like, there's no way. It's a 22 minute show. We exactly. don't have time for that. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Scene 12. A moment later, we see Greg and Peter in the carport, and Greg says, all right, Pete, let me have it. Peter then begins to squirt oil all over the sweatshirt Greg is wearing. After a few squirts, Greg says, all right, Peter, that's enough. But Peter doesn't stop.
No.
Peter can go all night long, Tech. Peter turns it into a game and keeps spraying on him. Then he runs off. I don't think oil comes out.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be really
hard. I could be wrong, but I really don't think it comes out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Scene 13. Meanwhile, we see Cindy and Bobby putting dirt into buckets and adding water to make mud. To make mud.
A mess?
Oh. Yeah. Peter comes over to check on their progress. He looks down and says, okay, that's pretty good. Okay, remember, smoosh it all over each other, okay? They say, okay, as they reach down into the bucket and grab handfuls of mud. Peter goes on, ready? 1, 2, 3, smoosh! Then Cindy and Bobby smoosh mud all over Peter instead. Peter reaches into the bucket and smooshes them both back.
Oh.
This erupts a mud fight between the three of them.
That was pretty good looking mud.
Yes,
yeah. That was like perfect looking mud.
It was pretty decent. Apparently they didn't listen when Marcia just told them last week that smoosh is not a word.
Probably not. Cindy got mud in her mouth. That's pretty funny. Oh, she's like, that's pretty funny. Yeah, well, she did with a lisp, you know. Scene 14. Next we see Marcia and Jan standing in front of each other. Marcia looks at Jan and says, are you ready? Jan says, smiles and nods. Marcia says, on your mark, get set, go. Marcia and Jan are holding jars of paint and brushes and begin to paint each other's clothing, screaming and giggling as they do this. Eventually, just pouring paint straight onto each other's clothes. It's funny because at the end of it, Jan looks like she could have been in a horror movie. Marcia's using red. Yeah, so I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah. And again, I don't think paint comes out.
No, they're using like the worst things to test.
So,
all right, scene 15. Later that day, we see Mike coming home from work and is greeted in the kitchen by Carol. Carol says, oh, you're just in time for the judging. On the left is pile A, and on the right is pile B. Which one do you think is the cleanest? Mike and Carol each take a pile and go through and take a look. They sniff the clothes, and then they switch piles and do the same for the other. Meanwhile, Alice stands by watching. The kids are all sitting at the table, excited to find out the results. Finally, Mike says, well, I'd say pile A. Carol says, well, that makes it unanimous. I vote for pile A, too. Mike looks at Alice and says, well, Alice, which soap is safe, A or B? Alice takes a deep breath and says, the winner is the envelope, please. She looks to Marcia as she hands her an envelope. Alice opens it up and goes, the winner is? Alice looks confused and says, well, it says pile A, but I can't remember whether pile A is best or safe. Carol says, oh, no. Everyone sighs at the fuck up their housemaid just did. Mike asks, what are you going to do about it? Alice says, oh, no problem, Mr. Brady. She turns to the kids and says, kids, go put your old clothes back on and dirty up again. Kids all smile and jump up from the table. What a fuck up.
Yeah, can't say I didn't see that coming.
She had one job.
Yeah.
But I mean, one could say like, okay, you're testing safe and she wrote pile A. So my guess would be, well, I'm assuming you wrote down which one was safe.
Right. But I mean, does it really matter if Carol and Mike know which is which? It's not like they want a certain one to, well, I guess Carol does.
They do want a certain one. Yeah. No, they're doing it the right way. But then again, even if it's questionable, you have to do it all over again. I mean, yeah. All right.
And did the kids change their clothes and dirty up a second pair of clothes?
Well, I'm sure they put the clothes on they just had on.
Right. But I mean, if they're testing two stacks of clothes, then they would have had to get the same amount of dirt on each one of them.
Oh, there's a lot of factors to this test they probably didn't think of. But exactly, I wouldn't want to bring it up if I was there. Like, first you need a test. You know, you need like a test group. You need like, you know, it's just you need to do three different piles is what you need to do. But whatever.
Yeah.
One you just wash in water only, you know. Anyway.
True that.
Test group is not the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for?
Control.
Control group. Thank you. All right. So this is where we take our next break, Janet Jackson. So the Brady family have been chosen to be in a commercial, but Mike doesn't want to lie and say how great the laundry soap is, so they put it to the test. Will Safe be the best? Or, well, you get it. We'll be back.
Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Yes, Will I Am. Are you ready to bring on the weird?
Did you just make a Will I Am joke?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. I'll allow it. Anyway, we're just a couple of harmless guys digging into weird things we don't know much about.
We're just trying to figure out what the hell is happening in the world outside our homes.
Do we get things wrong?
Without a doubt.
Are we learning from those mistakes?
Not anytime soon.
Are you entertained by the crap we're talking about?
Of course. That's why I always listen to the show.
You listen? Alright, what do you like to listen to about the show?
I like aliens, conspiracies, cryptids, NWO, shadow government, you name it.
What? But, oh, hold on. Do the aliens come from inside the Earth instead of interstellar travel? What made the conspiracy start? Why did that cryptid evolve to do the things it does? Who runs this NWO?
Listen in as we dive into all manners of subjects as we bring on the weird.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. You can listen to clips of our episodes on our YouTube channel.
Listen, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And we are back.
Yes, that was a good break.
That was a good break.
I feel all rested and rejuvenated.
That's good.
Yes.
What did you do in the bathroom?
Pee.
Oh.
Well, afterwards.
Gotcha. So you were just telling me on break about how you started writing a self-help book involving cars, which was a car metaphor, which I thought was really interesting. And I thought the title was the most interesting. But first, I want you to tell me a little bit just about your book that you're writing, self-help but with a car metaphor.
No, it's actually like one of those books you buy to work on your car. It's a Haynes manual. Well, yeah, that's all it is. That's just one of those. Yeah.
And what's the title of that book?
Haynes manual, 2003 Toyota 4Runner. That's what it is. Yeah, that's all it is. It's nothing exciting. But you're writing a book. So let's tell us about that.
Okay, so it basically takes place in 1860-something. I forget the exact year it takes place in. But it's about a woman and basically her in the new frontier and living out in Colorado in the Old West. And basically on her own and trying to define herself. As well as finding her way around the world.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's the quick version.
One story that I don't think I've ever told you.
Jeez, OP, how do we get these?
I was cleaning out the room one time, right? Me and my wife's room.
Yeah.
And I found this notebook. And my wife is super organized and she uses notebooks for a lot of things. So I was thumbing through it to see if it was something that was for work or what it was for. And I noticed that it was like notes for a book she was writing.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, well, this looks like a book she's writing. And I was later in the chapters and it was about this woman that owned a bed and breakfast in Ireland or something like that. And so I'm like, this is interesting. And so I thumbed to the beginning and she kills me off. Like,
is this a joke or
no?
This is actual. So she had you in this book?
She had me in the book and then I die. And then she moves over to Ireland and opens up a bed and breakfast.
Didn't your wife say something about wanting to do that?
She did, yeah.
What was your response to that?
So I
told her, fuck no, I ain't moving to Ireland.
What, like to the book or my response to her wanting to do
it? In real life, your response to...
Well, that was like a whimsical if we won the lottery thing. You know what I mean? But there was a time,
won a life insurance policy.
Exactly. Yeah. But there was a time that we were thinking about moving to Ireland, but that didn't last very long.
Not for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I brought out the notebook to her. I was like, hey, I found this. And she's like, okay. I'm like, it looks like a book you're writing. And she's like, you didn't read it, did you? I'm like, well, yeah, I wanted to see what it was. And she's like,
okay, that's really embarrassing. You weren't supposed to read it. And I'm like, you killed me off. And she's like, see, that's why I didn't want you reading it, because you would do. She's like, it's just an idea I had. It's just a book. I'm like, I want to.
Is this
go to Ireland?
Oh, wife, is this your story or is this your manifesto?
So she was really embarrassed that I found it, and she was really. She's like, man, now I feel stupid.
I bet she'll love that you talked about it on the podcast too. Exactly.
She don't listen to this.
She don't listen to this.
So I've never tried writing a book before. I've written many scripts and plays and stuff, but yeah. I've never tried writing it.
And that's my first time writing a novel, and it's really hard.
I've written poetry. I actually have a poem written. We're both published authors. I have a poem that was published in a book of poems. Yeah. Me and Tack used to do this thing when we were in high school.
Wait, what are you about to talk about?
No, not that.
Oh, okay, good.
We used to do this thing in high school where we would write each other like short stories and then see how twisted of an ending we could put.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so I was taking my senior year, I was taking a creative writing class, and I totally forgot to do this assignment. I completely forgot to do it. And there was one story I wrote Tack about this little boy who's going to a funeral for his best friend, and this kid is like 6 years old, right?
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah, because I drew illustrations for these.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he goes up to the front of the church, and he sees his little friend laying there, and he thinks his friend's gonna wake up. It's funny, I swear. And he then starts feeling good about the fact that he killed his friend because his friend always wanted to play with his favorite Matchbox car. And now he doesn't have to share his favorite Matchbox car. So he turns to his grandfather and he goes, can we go get ice cream now? And he gets all happy. And then he leaves getting ice cream. Right.
Yeah.
And I needed an assignment for creative writing class. Right. And so I took that story and I'm like, I can't keep this ending because the teacher will kill me. So I rewrote the ending. So instead of him, like, obviously killing his friend,
right.
It was, I can't even remember what the ending was, but it was an ending where, his mom, he thought his friend was going to wake up, and, you know, he kind of like puts the Matchbox car in his friend's hand instead of him like being jealous about the Matchbox car. Yeah. He puts the Matchbox car in his friend's hand in the coffin.
Yeah.
And then they leave the church. And that was kind of like what the short story was. Right.
Okay.
And it got picked to go into a book of poems that was being published.
That's fun.
So,
yeah. Wasn't there another story about two guys driving down a road or something? I don't remember. I think we wrote a bunch of these. But
we wrote a bunch of them. There was one of them where a guy's really super nervous and he shows up on the front doorstep of this house and he really nervously rings the doorbell and he's holding a corsage and he's waiting for his prom date to come out.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not a corsage. It's a bomb. And the bomb goes off and blows both of them up and they both die. The end.
I don't remember that at all. I do remember drawing an illustration of some guy standing in front of a bathroom mirror and he looks sad. I think he had a gun in his hand or something, like he was about something to kill like himself. That, yeah. But I don't remember what the story was.
I remember you drawing one that said across the top, deck the halls.
Oh, yeah.
It was somebody,
I still have that drawing.
Somebody punching a pack of halls
in
the face.
Boxing gloves. Yeah. All right, we're getting off topic here.
Oh, we are, yeah.
All right, so let's get back into this. Let's see. When we left off, the Bradys had a chance to be in a commercial for Safe laundry detergent. But Mike doesn't want the family to be a bunch of liars. So they all decide to put Safe to the ultimate test against Best. Only Alice fucked up, and now we have to run the test a second time. Will she fuck up again? Will Best be Best? Will Safe be Safe? Let's get back into it.
Scene 16. Results are in.
Yes.
After the second dirtying and washing has been completed, we are now ready for the judging to begin.
Yes.
Again. After already looking through the piles, Mike says, well, this time I say pile B.
Hmm.
Carol says she agrees. Alice says, unanimous again.
Hmm.
As she opens the envelope, she goes on, the winner is.
Yes.
Pile B is Safe.
Oh, yes.
Carol says, then we do get to get money. I mean, we do get to get commercial, or we get to do the commercial. The kids all cheer.
With glee.
So,
Scene 17. It's evening in the Brady household, and Mike and Carol are sitting at the dining room table with Skip, to sign the contract. After Mike signs it, he hands it over to Skip and says, "Here you are, Mr. Farnum. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours." Skip says, "Out of sight." The director of photography comes over to Skip and tells him, "Everything checks out, Skip. No problems. Easy to light." Skip says, "Great." As the DP is looking at Carol through his lens, Skip, well, he actually had a lens, not using his hands.
It's actually a director's viewfinder. But
okay. Yeah. Skip tells Mike and Carol, "All right, folks, you study a script, and we're going to be out here bright and early Saturday morning and running cameras." Skip and the DP start heading for the door discussing the shoot when Carol chases after them, trying to interrupt. She asks, "Do you think we might get a chance to rehearse the script?" Mike awkwardly says, "Yeah, I mean, we've never done this before." Skip says, "Listen, don't even worry about it. You just learn those lines and leave the rehearsing thing to me. Ciao." Skip and the DP leave out the front door. Outside, the DP says to Skip, "No rehearsal bit is just great. You really got it up there, Skip," pointing to his head. Skip says, "I got it everywhere, man." The DP says, "That's a real natural family, too." Skip says, "Cool. And that's the way they're going to stay, dig?" And they walk off.
Dude in the yellow is creepy as fuck.
Dude in the yellow? Is that the DP?
Or? Yeah, like he has this his director's viewfinder that he's looking through with his eye.
Yeah.
And he stares at Carol for 5 seconds, just stares at her. And he pulls it away and he keeps staring at her for a second when he pulls his viewfinder. Oh my God, he's so fucking creepy.
That's awesome.
Mike really, when Mike says, "Yeah, we've never done this before," he legit looks fucking worried.
It's almost like he's a good actor.
Seriously, yeah. He's like, "Yeah, we've never done this before." Like, that's like one of the only times you see Mike look vulnerable. Like,
how ironic is that? He said that line so well that we don't know how to act, that it was believable.
That's deep. That is deep. Maybe he was getting in touch with that young actor in him tech before he had all the Shakespearean training and stuff.
Right. Wonder what he was thinking about. He was motivating. I think he was thinking.
He was motivating. Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing.
We're going to learn more about that later from Myrna. You didn't correct me.
Oh, Myrna. Yeah. Scene 18. Mike and Carol are in the living room looking over the script. Mike says, "I'm getting cold feet." Carol says, "Get some socks, Mike." No. Carol says, "Cold feet?" Mike goes on, "Yeah. Have you read this thing? It's not going to be easy doing all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing." Carol, looking confused, says, "You mean holding up a box of soap?" Mike says, "No. I mean, holding it and looking like we're stupid." Mike continues to look through the script. Carol thinks for a moment and says, "I wondered, you know, Laura's cousin is an actress, Myrna Carter." Mike says, "Oh yeah, Myrna, sorry. Carol corrects him and says, "No, she calls herself Myrna. She's not important or anything, but why couldn't we call her to come over and give us a few tips?" Mike loves the idea and grabs the phone and says, "Call her."
Oh my God, that was going to be what I was just about to say.
What?
Is your note. I was going to say, dude, this is you like all day. First of all, it was you like pulling the, "Well, we don't want to lie, so we're not going to do this." And now it's you like, this seems like too much. You know, I don't think I can do this. And I'm starting to freak out. I was like, because you can't hold a box of soap? Like, well, it's not just that. You have to hold it right and not look stupid.
Yeah, that does sound like me.
This is Jimmy all day.
I thought you were talking about calling people. I thought you were referencing a certain, bitch in high school that I called.
We're not going to talk about
that. I'm not bitter or nothing, but, you know. Can you repeat the question? Fucking bitch. Sorry. But yeah, me and Tech can totally relate how nervous, going on stage and shit for the first time. Like, that's, I get so nervous before going on stage that I throw up.
Do you though?
Yeah.
I thought it was the other thing.
Well, I fart too. Yeah. You get cold. I fart.
I get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Scene 19. This is a long one.
Well, correction. I throw up before I go on stage to sing. If I don't have to sing, then I don't throw up.
Gotcha. All right, scene 19. This actually is a long one, and I'm going to need your help when they're saying the script, you know?
Okay.
So it's rehearsal time at home without a director again. Mike and Carol are reading from the script as Myrna is watching. I'll take Mike. You take Carol.
Okay.
Mike says, "Hi, honey. Here's that box of safe you wanted from the market."
"Thanks, dear. And just in time. I was down to my last cupful of safe."
"So was the market. Safe really outsells other brands."
"That's because safe cleans all the things always. I just couldn't do without safe. It's the only brand I feel safe with."
They stop and look at Myrna for advice. Myrna looks awkward and says, "Kids, I'm sorry, but it's all wrong." By the way, Myrna here is like super quirky. And
yeah.
She looks like she'd be into crystals and all that kind of weird shit and essential oils. Carol says, "Oh, Myrna, I'm so glad we called you. Would you please tell us what to do?" Mike also asks, "What's wrong?" Myrna says, "Well, you're just reading it and nobody's going to believe it. You know what I mean? You're not motivated." Mike asks, "Motivated?" Myrna says, "Yeah, like your attitude when you say your lines. What are you thinking? Kind of feel about what you're saying." Carol says, "Well, I never thought of all that." Mike agrees with Carol. Myrna goes on. "Yeah, motivation is everything. It's what gives the meaning and the motions and the acting, you know?" Carol asks if they could try it again. Myrna says, "Oh, sure. She walks over to Mike and says to Mike, "Michael, you think about it this way. Think about all the guys at the office and how they tell you how great your shirts look, all clean, and it makes you proud, Mike, because you know it's because of safe. You see, Mike, that's the motivation. Like the attitude, right?" Mike awkwardly says, "Right." Myrna goes on, "Okay, well, you think about being at the office." Myrna walks over to Carol and tells her, "Carol, you're thinking, wow. I'm going to get a box of that stuff."
Wow.
Yeah. That line cracked me up. "And that makes you happy because your husband is proud that you wash his shirt, see?" Carol smiles and says, "Okay, I'll try." Myrna claps with excitement and tells them both, "Now remember, lots of energy. Keep it up. Acting is bigger than life." Mike sighs and says, "Listen, Myrna," but is quickly interrupted by Carol and Myrna that they both correct him by saying, "Myrna." Mike goes on, "Myrna, I don't think I can do this." Myrna looks at him and runs over and says, "Oh, no, you're doing fine. You're getting it. Really, you are. Mike, the seed is there. All you have to do is let it grow, you know?"
Wow.
Mike looks awkwardly with the quirky lady. Myrna goes on, "Let's try it again. Now remember, up there, energy, bigger than life, okay?" Mike agrees and begins to read from the script. "Hi, honey. Here's that box of safe you wanted from the office, or on the market."
"Thanks, dear. And just in time, I was down to my last cupful of safe."
"So was the market. Boy, it really outsells all other brands." Carol reaches over for a kiss from Mike. Mike awkwardly kisses her. Myrna runs over and says, "Good, that's really good, but a little bit bigger, though. You gotta grab the audience. You know what I mean? Let's do it one more time." Mike says, "Okay." As they run through the script again, we see Alice has been watching from the kitchen. She thinks and says to herself, "Motivation, eh? Bigger than life, eh? I think I'm going to try some of that myself."
Did this girl remind you of anybody?
She reminded me of that chick. I forget her name, but like on the airplane movies.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could see that. But to me, she reminded me of Frenchie from Grease.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Totally. I don't know. Just the certain mannerism she had. I thought it was funny that she called him Michael. That's just that shit cracked me up.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is Alice doing with the broom?
Oh, I know what you mean, because it kept cutting back and forth between Alice as she's listening. Yeah. And she was still doing the same thing, which and I want to say was putting or maybe taking plastic off a mop.
She didn't have a screwdriver in her hand. It looked like she was winding up the wire on the broom.
Or like the twist tie on the plastic. Something, I couldn't figure it. But she was doing that the whole time.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, yeah.
So she must have been doing that maybe 10 minutes at least.
Yeah, I don't
know. The same action. I was like, that should have been done like 3 or 4 seconds, but I don't know. Yeah. It was weird.
I don't know. But yeah.
And we got a nice long one. Ooh, longer than the one I just did. So I'm going to run to the bathroom. Go ahead. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Scene 20. It's Saturday morning. Shoot day.
Mm.
Skip and the DP are discussing the shoot. Skip, dressed in a headband and a red muumuu, says, "Parents, kids, housekeeper, in that order. Groovy." Skip walks over to Mike and Carol as Mike is holding a box of safe. Skip says, "Okay, now team, I want you to listen to what I'm laying down now. Love, you're over here at the counter, see? You're making it with the greenery and pops. You come flipping in and you lay this box of flakes on the little lady and you have a little rap session and then we cut out. Dig?" Mike just stares at him for a moment and says, "I think so."
He talks funny.
It'd be funny if Mike was like... Carol asks, "Excuse me, Mr. Farnham, but when do we get to rehearse?" Skip says, "Oh, you're not going to rehearse. Don't worry. Trust me, Pussycat, it's just going to be great." He takes Carol by the hand and walks her over to the spot where she needs to be. He tells her one last time, "Trust me, groovy, groovy." Skip walks over to Mike, pats him on the arm, and says, "My rock." Skip then walks over to the camera to check his shot and says, "Yeah, groovy. Let's crank one up." After the DP gets behind the camera, Skip kneels down in front of the camera and tells Mike to look into the camera. The DP says, "Rolling, speed." Skip now calls, "Action." Mike walks into where Carol is standing. He says, while slamming the box of safe down on the stove, "Hi, honey. Here's that box of safe you wanted from the market." Carol, larger than life, says, "Wow, and just in time. I was down to my last cupful of safe." She picks up the box to show it off to the camera. They both awkwardly look into the camera, and they both kiss as if scripted. Skip yells, "Cut! Stop! Stop! Stop!"
All right, stop. That was one of the things that made me laugh so fucking hard.
What?
Just their kiss, because it just looked like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
Kiss, and like, dude, oh, yeah. it was so funny.
He walks over to Mike and Carol and goes on, "What was that? I mean, where's that Mrs. America that I dug in the parking lot? And you, Pops, my rock, you look like you flew from a feather factory."
Ooh, damn, that was a slur.
Fuck, that's supposed to mean. Okay. Mike awkwardly says, "I was motivating. Just thinking of the boys in the office."
Ooh.
Skip looks closer at Mike and says, "What boys in the office?" Mike says, "The ones who keep telling me how, you know, clean my shirts are." Carol says, "Yeah, and I was thinking, wow, he brought me a box of that stuff."
That's another line that I fucking lost. Because she's saying the whole time smiling. I was thinking, wow, you brought me a box of that stuff.
Skip thinks for a second and says, "Oh, you're putting me on, right?" Mike says, "I was working on an attitude." Skip says, "Attitude? Relax. Just the two of you unwind and go sit in the living room, and I'll be in a minute." Skip walks over to the DP and asks if the kids are ready. The DP says they are. The crew move all the cameras and lights and get ready for the kids. Skip talks to himself and says, "This is what happens when you put a camera on a bunch of squares. They just flip out." The DP walks over to calm him and tells him it'll be fine.
That part kind of made me think of our Rob Moss skit that we did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
If you guys want to see something funny, you got to look that up. Look up Bob Moss.
Rob Moss.
Rob Moss, sorry. Skip agrees and gets ready for the kid's shot.
Skip calls action. The kids all walk into the kitchen with their clothes covered in mud and dirt. They are all waving and smiling awkwardly at the camera. Skip sees this and calls cut and says, "Kids, what's with all the dirt?" Greg still holding his creepy grin, says, "We were supposed to be out and playing, Mr. Farnham." Skip says, "In a swamp?" Marsha, also holding a creepy grin, says, "Well, we made ourselves extra dirty on purpose." Peter creepily pipes up, well, with a grin and almost cult-like, says, "Yeah, because we know Safe cleans almost anything." Bobby adds, "We were motivating." Skip says, "Motivating? Nobody up there digs me," referring to God in heaven. Skip then tells the kids, "All right, out. Get out now. Get yourselves cleaned up, dirty yuck. Go out, go."
Like that.
Keep going. I'm giving you time to enjoy it.
Well, since we've stopped, this part had me fucking crying. This is one of the ones I was texting you.
Really?
When the kids were all like just standing there fucking creepy, just smiling and like waving. And they kept their creepy smiles. Like, looked like they were in a cult.
That's funny.
And just the way they were. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Once the kids are all gone, Skip walks over to the DP and asks if Alice is ready. The DP confirms that she is. The crew swings the camera and lights around again. Everyone is ready, and Skip calls, "Action!" Alice waltzes out of the laundry room wearing an evening gown, a big necklace, and large earrings. She is carrying laundry in her arms and a huge smile on her face. Skip sees this and says, "Oh, no, 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 stop, cut!" Alice asks, "Did I do something wrong?" Skip says, "What was that, Dance of the Good Fairy?" Alice says, "Look, I was motivating." Skip angrily says, "Motivating." Alice goes on, "I figured Safe washed the clothes so fast, so I had time to go out to a beauty parlor." Skip is starting to lose his mind at this point. Skip takes a deep breath and says, "Okay, now I'm motivating. Everybody come in here, please." Mike and Carol and all the kids come into the kitchen. Skip goes on, "Now I want you to know that this whole gig is off. Kaput. I mean, the whole thing is a washout." Everyone seems a little sad and confused by this. Skip goes on, "My nice natural family is a bunch of ding-a-lings." And then he does that Tigger and goes, "Ugh," whatever.
That poor crap man, dings.
He said dingling. Because that's wiener. I'm sorry, I should have said wiener. Mike says, "We were only trying to be helpful, Mr. Farnham. We took some acting lessons." Carol adds, "We want it to be bigger than life." Skip says, "Well, you can be bigger, but not in my life. Get out of my house, all of you." Mike says, "This is my house." Skip says, "Oh, right." He goes on, he goes to his crew and says, "Let's split." As the crew is wrapping up, Skip says to the DP, "Wait a minute. This reminds me of that horrible actress we worked with. What was her name?" The DP says, Myrna Carter. Skip says, "That's it. Myrna Carter." The DP corrects him, "Myrna." Skip says, Myrna, whatever. As they walk out the door, the Bradys are left rolling their eyes.
That whole scene fucking cracked me up.
Yeah, I could tell. I think we could all tell.
That's great.
My first note is, what the fuck is he wearing?
He was wearing a muumuu.
Holy shit.
And a headband.
Something tells me that's just his clothes.
I don't know. Maybe.
And what the fuck is that dumbass light going to do?
We got to remember they were also on a whole set that was lighting everything already.
But what's funny about it is when they finally move everything, the light cords are still wound up. Like, they couldn't have reached the wall if they wanted to.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
And plus, when they show the wall, there's not a plug anywhere nearby.
Right. There's no way you can swing everything around camera and lights that quickly.
Exactly. Search also, if you notice, they left the tape marks on the floor.
I didn't notice, but maybe they may, like, you could say that their crew set that up.
Yeah, but that's not something the audience wouldn't even, what it looks like, because it's black tape, it looks like the production side of it left tape on the floor as marks, and they forgot to pull it up. That's what it looks like.
Maybe.
again, all I could hear was Tigger. That's all I could hear was Tigger. No.
No, he's such a good character, man. That guy is funny.
You dig?
You dig?
I love how every time I would say something like that, you're like,
you're giggling. I'm just glad you continued on with the voice. All right, scene 21. Later, we see Carol sitting on the back porch reading a letter while Alice is picking up a newspaper on a chair. Carol says, "Alice, would you come here a minute? I still don't understand this special delivery letter I got." Alice says, "Must be quite a letter. You read it 6 times since this morning." Carol says, "Hey, you think?" No. Carol reads the letter. "In compliance with our contractual agreements, Farnham Enterprises will meet its obligation of payment. As to manner of payment, we will refer you to Section 12, Article C, Paragraph 42 of the contract." Now, what do you suppose they mean by manner of payment? Alice shakes her head and says, "Sorry, Hungarian goulash, I understand. Legal goulash, I don't." I'm supposed to laugh, Jimmy.
Oh.
Carol says, "Well, I guess I'll just have to wait until Mr. Brady gets home. He's a man. He'll understand."
No. I don't know what a paragraph is or a section or an article. Hey, I'm so dumb. Let me wait for the guy to come.
Just then, a truck is backing down the driveway. One of the drivers asks, "One of you Mrs. Brady?" Carol says she is. The driver tells her he has a delivery for her. Carol gets up and walks over to the truck. She says, "I don't remember ordering anything." Alice suggests that Mr. Brady may have. The driver hands Carol a clipboard to sign. Carol asks what she's signing for. The driver says, "It's from Farnham Film Enterprises. Safe laundry soap." He turns the dolly around on a large case, and it says it has 48 boxes inside the safe laundry detergent. Alice laughs and says, "I guess that's what they meant by manner of payment." Carol asks, "48 boxes of soap?" The driver says, "48 boxes? Lady, you got 2,000 boxes." The driver dollies over the first case and sets it on the patio and asks, "Where do you want them?" Carol and Alice just look at each other in shock. Alice looks at Carol and asks, "Where do you want them, lady?" Carol says, "Oh, Alice." And then they make out. Wait, what? They didn't make out.
They must have tagged. You just said they did. The first thing I wrote was, good thing Mike read that contract.
What the fuck? He read through like how many times?
Yeah, exactly. How in the world did they get a truck on the set? That's not like a full semi-truck trailer.
Yeah.
How the fuck did they get that on set?
It's
a large set.
It's like,
I guess, but
you've seen these, like, these are like warehouses that they film in.
Jeez.
Well, that's the end of the episode.
That is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? I thought this was one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen.
It was all right. It was
funnier than usual. Come on now.
It's funnier than usual, but it wasn't like wheezing funny.
Like, well, everything is wheezing funny to me. I don't know.
That's funny.
But I like that actor guy. I forget his name. Something Winchell or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. You dig? I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So, I have an email to read.
Oh, God.
It's okay. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
As soon as I can find it.
You should read it like
Skip Farm.
Yeah, Skip Farm.
Yeah, you dig? Hey, guys. No. All right. So this is an email from Amber.
Amber.
She goes, "Hi, guys." I don't know if she talks like that, but I'm just in my mind, she does. "I really enjoy your podcast. I have always been a little embarrassed to admit I like the Brady Bunch. I like hearing your comments and how you point out absurd things I never noticed. Never thought about poor Alice before.
Right?
Forced to be their maid on vacations? I heard someone's comments about your language and talking about body parts. I think you should be who you are. Don't try to change like Peter. Just listen.
Peter.
Change our Peter? I just listened to the most recent episode and did want to point out that Robert Reed was married to a woman in the 50s.
Yeah.
And they had a daughter, Karen. Karen was actually in season 2 episode, whatever, The Slumber Caper, as one of Marsha's friends. Yeah, we discussed that.
And it's funny because me and Tech even commented on that episode.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, that's his daughter. And I don't know why it slipped our minds that he had a daughter. But.
And she says, you can recognize her because she has her dad's blue eyes.
Nice.
I also like hearing two old friends host this show. Thanks, Amber.
We're not that old. We're only in our 40s.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's kind of rude to assume that we're old.
Jesus Christ. Thanks a lot, Amber. Fuck. No.
Probably some old lady.
No, that's awesome, Amber. I appreciate that. And we appreciate all emails like that, especially one like Amber wrote.
We do. Yeah. I always, and I, Tack can tell you, he doesn't, we don't go over these before we record.
No.
I genuinely get like worried every time there's an email.
So every time you hear Jimmy, hey, I got an email to read. This literally is the first time he's hearing that we even have an email. Yeah. So, because I have the access to the account and Jimmy doesn't because, well, I'm the boss. I'm the boss and I won't let him. No.
There you go.
No, I've told him, like, here, you can have, he goes, no, no. I like it like this.
It's great.
I think Jimmy just likes to be surprised. So, all right. Well, appreciate that, Amber. We enjoy reading your email. And thank you for the uplifting, positive things.
That was good, yeah.
So, we're going to say a quick little disclaimer. We had fun here today. Don't be offended. We are not racist or sexist or ageist.
Unless it would be funny to do so. In that case.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah. Unless it's funny.
No, even if it's funny, we make crack jokes about it, but we're not racist or sexist.
All right, so you want to sign some homework, Mr. Klein?
Sure. First things first, check out the website next time you're taking a shit.
Yeah.
Pop out the phone and check out the website.
What is the website?
AveryBradyPodcast.com.
All right. Do a rate and review at Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or CastBox.
Tell two friends about the show, or if you don't like it, tell two enemies.
Mm-hmm. Send an email to the show. And tell us what you like or dislike about it at everybreedpodcast@gmail.com.
Join the Facebook group and join in the conversation and the fun.
Check out Patreon at patreon.com/everybreedpodcast.
Instagram at everybreedpodcast.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, and that's where you're going to get all of our up-to-date info, like we're not going to be releasing an episode today or whatever.
And to clarify, there is two Facebook entities.
Yes.
There's the Facebook page that's for the podcast.
It's the like page.
And then there's a Facebook group just for people to chat. Mm-hmm. And
it's called the Very Brady Facebook group.
Our me and Tech's dream is for two people to meet in the Very Brady Facebook group, fall in love, and have children. And we can have little tiny podcast babies.
I want to meet someone and fall in love.
Well, this is about them.
Oh.
But don't you want to have like little podcast babies? We'd be like their grandparents.
Aww.
But also follow on Facebook and get updates.
That's true. So we do have another episode coming up next week, and Jimmy is going to break that down for you.
This is season 3, episode 9, entitled "The Private Ear."
See what they did there? Private ear.
Nah, instead of private eye.
No, like private ear. The privateer.
Oh, I thought it was like instead of private eye, it's private ear.
I guess maybe it's a three-way thing there.
Oh, damn. Oh, not damn. Like that. Okay. That's a black lady on the streets finally come on.
Oh, shit.
You said three-way?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
Peter gets into trouble for eavesdropping on his brothers and sisters with a tape recorder, and his parents force him to apologize. But Greg and Marsha decide that they are going to go one step further and teach him a lesson themselves.
It's too late to apologize. It's too late.
There you go.
Well, that sounds good.
It does sound good. It's a good one.
All right. Anything else?
No, I believe that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode.
I have been Jimmy.
And I've been Tack.
And this has been a Very Brady Podcast.
And we'll see you on another sunshine day, you dig?
Keep smoking.
Hey, thanks so much for stopping by and checking out the show. And come on back here for new episodes every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Also, on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rate and review. It helps the show out tremendously. Head on over to averybradypodcast.com to check out past guests. And maybe you wonder what Jimmy and I look like, but, you know, it's not as good as you think, so don't get too excited. And you can contact us at averybradypodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and we'll read it on the show. And also head on over to the merch store at tpublic.com. The link is in the description below. And don't forget to join the Facebook group. It's called A Very Brady Facebook Group. And also there's a like page for the show as well called A Very Brady Podcast. So join in on the fun, join in on the conversation, post memes, do whatever you want. Just don't be a racist dick. And be sure to also check out the Patreon page. If you enjoy the show, give a donation and become a patron. We'd certainly appreciate it. Just head on over to patreon.com/averybradypodcast. Until then, this has been A Very Brady Podcast, and have a sunshine day.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.